I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase. And you guys need to listen to my show, the Primetime Angles Radio Show, which is available live Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't know where we might be. Vegas, L.A., Houston, New York, Miami. We do this show everywhere, mobile, but this is all about cashing that ticket. So if you are a big bettor or a small bettor and you like to bet college basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, MLB, WNBA, anything that you can bet under the sun, we'll have an angle for you, okay? So make sure you guys do tune in to the Primetime Angles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase, also featuring Jeff Dawson, Philly Pete, Bobby Del Rio, and many more guests that come in on a weekly basis. So you guys make sure to tune in, because this is the best sports betting show in the world. Once again, the best sports betting show in the world. Don't miss out. And this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show, live every Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. All right, this is the Primetime Angles with your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop DiBiase, and I got my man in the house with me, the infamous Nate Wall, one of the best writers in the business. This guy is somebody I really admire. He went ahead and he wrote a lot of great articles on college basketball this season in every conference, not just the Power Six, things like that. And then he also covered the AAF as if it was NFL Live, but he had the AAF Live, and he was up to date. He was on the money, pretty much. If he was over here selling plays for that, you guys would be some rich folks right now, because he had that league known in and out. It was very impressive. Nate Wall, go ahead and say what's up to the people.
What's going on, folks? You know, I'm back at it. You know, kind of looking for that new league decoder. You know, baseball is not entirely my thing, but you know, with the AAF kind of pulling the plug on me before the season even was supposed to end, you know, I'm kind of a free agent, as I would say right now. So, you know, looking for that next league to, you know, make some picks and do some analysis on.
Well, you know, and you're always really good, and you're really good at the NFL and everything, but I know you need something. Maybe we could throw some WNBA at you. Hey, you know, I love me some WNBA. I can't wait till the season starts. I think it's going to be some big things coming. You see the Aces get the first pick in the draft this year to go with AJ Wilson and things like that. And they already got a pretty good team over there. It was incredible to watch them win six games in a row after they lost the first nine. And pretty much, we were just, before we got on air, we were talking about the playoffs with the Bucks and everything like that. And it looks like the Bucks are up five now. So
yeah, we got the lead up five. We were down, I think, actually five or six at half. So, you know, we're starting to, you know, pull it together on the second half. We're stalling Reggie Jackson. We just got to stop Blake. And hopefully we can pull out a win and sweep the Pistons.
Well, you guys are already going to win the series. That's simple as that. You want to get the sweep. You really don't want to go back to Milwaukee. You want to be rested, things like that, because Boston's already swept. So, hey, you want to get to Boston as quick as possible, because this is going to be the series right here. It's going seven games, guaranteed. Everybody better prepare themselves for that. The Bucks better be on the watch out, because they did play a team that was pretty easy compared to the team that the Celtics had to play. But the Pacers do have an excuse. Their leading top scorer was out, so it was more of them winning so many games early in the season to where they were able to get the fifth spot in the playoffs. But with Oladipo, they could have went plenty of places, in all honesty. They could have still vied for the division, actually. But all in all, it happened. Oladipo's done for the year, and they're done for the year. And pretty much, though, we all know at the end of the day, Boston still would have been won that series with a Victor Oladipo there, because the thing is, Boston plays hellified defense, and everybody just has to understand that part. Boston's over here giving up like 85 points a game in the playoffs with the new, and they said, well, there'll never not be a game that goes over with the way that the NBA shortened the clock. And now it's the games still are going to go under, because guys just can't shoot some games, man. It is what it is.
Yeah,
But it's crazy to see this game. Milwaukee went ahead and put themselves right back into the game. Weren't they down double digits in this game, Nate?
Yeah, early they were. They were down, I think, like 12, 13. But yeah, they, like I said, now they're up 7. So, I mean, 7 and they're kind of counting. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of on the come up. You know, I think they're starting to adjust their game. And, you know, Bledsoe's been great in the second half. Giannis has been great in the second half. So, you know, I think it's all uphill from here.
I hear that, man. So, who do you like in the late game, in the nightcap tonight?
I haven't been following really many of the other games. Who's playing in the night game?
It's going to be the Jazz and the Rockets.
Jazz and Rockets. You know, I really like the Jazz. I really like the game that Donovan Mitchell plays. You know, there's just something about the Jazz that, you know, it's something to like. They got a lot of, you know, guys like Mitchell and Korver that, you know, they play really well together. And, you know, I mean, Rockets, I mean, James Harden's a great player. Chris Paul's a great player. But, I mean, you know, there's something about the, you know, what Mitchell brings to the table that, you know, it's fun to watch. You know, living here in Louisville, too. I mean, you know, he came through the ranks at the University of Louisville. So, you know, he's kind of been one of the guys that, you know, I've followed a little bit more in the NBA just, you know, because he did play here in Louisville. So, kind of pulling for the Jazz a little bit.
Well, I already know, man. This is some really good stuff that's going on for Milwaukee. But Utah is about finished, in my opinion. I have them winning tonight, but not winning after this. I think that the series is over after tonight. Once they get back to Houston, Houston should go ahead and wrap this thing up and get themselves prepared to play against the Warriors. Come out and play. It's the third time around, and I don't know this time around. I think that Houston might have the upset up their sleeve, but we'll see. We'll see, because people have already handed the Warriors the championship, and I'm like, not so fast, you know? I just really feel like it's a not-so-fast situation because they didn't play their greatest basketball this season. Everybody's like, this team is so ultimate. This team is so this, and that's how they blew a 31-point lead the other night. Against a Clipper team that they should have swept easily, you know? And so they get a fluke game and pretty much come to L.A., win two in a row. They could have been done with this already. And see, the rock star mentality is going to catch up with them because they are probably the least celebrated dynasty I've ever seen in my life, Nate. I say this because when you think about it, the Warriors are more popular for beating LeBron than actually winning championships. Because once they win the championship, they talk about a Warriors championship for 5 minutes, but then they talk about, well, LeBron still can't get to Jordan. Well, LeBron's going to go do this during the summertime, and what do you think he's going to do? He's going to go in the gym, get back to his shape, and we'll see him back in the finals next year. You know?
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to happen.
And so, pretty much, that's what I see. If you notice this, have you seen this stuff? The 3 out of 4, the 4 years these teams have played in the championship, 3 out of 4 years, whatever. The 3 years they played in a row, it was always about more. It was more about the two LeBron defeats than it was about the actual Warriors win, which is crazy. Well, actually, 3, right? They got 3 out of 4, right?
Right.
Yeah, 3 out of 4. So, So, you know, it's more about them beating LeBron losing than them winning. And it's nuts. It's really nuts, in my opinion. And they try to go for a third championship in a row, and I just don't see it. I don't know why I don't see it happening. I just don't. I feel like the big upset's in place because it's the best way to send off Durant. Durant doesn't go out on top with the Warriors. I tell you this, man. If anybody can probably steal this thing, it'd be Toronto or Boston. But Milwaukee still needs some seasoning. We know this. I know it's your team, but you know they still need some seasoning. But that would be incredible if they were to come off and pull off a Luol Cinder job, you know what I mean, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar job, and get an early championship. But, you know, for Giannis, he's not early in the franchise. And then pretty much Philly is – Philly's good, but, you know, Philly is a dysfunctional team at the same time, too. You know what I mean? They just got so much talent that they can't lose. So that's my opinion in that sense of the word. But the East is a more exciting playoff when it comes down to it. It really is. The West is very predictable, except for what's going on here in the Portland-Oklahoma series, which is a complete shock. I thought it would have been 2-2. But once again, OKC showing how overrated they are. Really, it's not that they're overrated. It's just that they got two players. And you can only go so far with two players. So, you know, that's how I'm feeling in that regard. And the Blazers kind of lucked up right now because they're playing some great team basketball. Lillard said it the other night. He said, look, we went in the locker room and he said, we're not going to worry about what the refs call. We're just going to play our game. Whenever you got a team that responds to something like that and they just play their game, they usually win like the Blazers did last night. And that was fun to hear, and that's great to watch, man. How do you feel about that, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I've always like Damian Lillard. I think he's just an outstanding player. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and you know, I think with Westbrook and George, you know, those two guys, I mean, they gel better than when Grant was there. But you know, it's still, you know, Westbrook throws up a lot of shots. And you're like, you know, can you imagine if he threw up less shots? Because I saw a little fact about Westbrook based on like the record of the Thunder, the less shot attempts he has. I think it was something along the lines that he shoots, I think, less than 20 shots. The record of the Thunder goes way up as far as like their overall like good record. But when he shoots plus, I think it was plus 20 shots, you know, then the record gets a lot closer to 500. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell an NBA coach how to do his job, but, you know, I mean, they might not want to take a look at, you know, analytics are kind of changing the game of sports. So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, hey, if we get Westbrook's throw up 15, 16 shots a game versus, you know, 26 or 27, and you make 9, 10, or whatever, you know, it might cost you. But I think, you know, with, you know, the Blazers are playing extremely well, so... You know, it'll be tough for I think Westbrook to come back and George to come back from the 3-1.
Right, and but it's possible. It's possible, but they started off two.
I think it's possible.
Right, but they lost the first 3 out of 4. Like, say if you win the second one and you lose 2 in a row, then maybe get 2 back. But I don't know. You know what I mean? It's the trick. Can you get 2 in a row? Can you get 3 in a row to win the series? But I really do think the series is over, but I think it still could possibly go 7. Possibly. If, you know, Westbrook. But Colin Cowherd really lit into Westbrook hard today. He doesn't really like Westbrook very much, but he was saying some key points, and he might even have a point that he might be on the back nine of his career, because him stat stuffing so hard, that takes a lot out of you, man, for a 3-year stretch and 3-year run, and then making some of the worst decisions a point guard could ever make. But I've always told people, Russ was never a point guard, man. He's a combo guard, you know, and right. They kind of forced the situation, and that's always been the problem. I said, if Larry Brown would ever coach the Thunder, he would have found a way to get a game-managing point guard to be in the game at the same time as Westbrook, so he could use more opportunities to play off the ball, you know, and score more points and be more active within the game. But when he's holding on to the ball and he's doing everything, 80% of the work of the offense, then it becomes a great problem. When he's shooting 70% of the shots up for the team as well too, you know, he's regressed back a little bit, things of that nature, but he's just very, very wild. You know, and he's just going off, and he's just doing Westbrook stuff. You know, and it's been a problem for OKC for a while. But I would never say OKC picked the wrong guy. They picked the most committed guy, because it didn't matter how good they were together, him and KD. The days is always numbered in OKC the moment they move from Seattle, because Kevin loved playing in Seattle, but he never loved playing in Oklahoma City. You know, period, point blank.
Right.
And, you know, he can say, oh, he loved the city. And, you know, all those players are obligated to do stuff for the community. I don't want to hear that shit. You know what I mean? Seriously. All you guys got to be within your community when you play. So, you know, you sponsoring, you know, foundations, charities, things of that nature, it's a given. Because you're in that city, you're in that town, and you want to make sure that you show good face, right? But he always had plans leaving to where nobody knew. But him going to the Warriors, he was saying that he wants to go win a championship with a group of guys that won't press him as much as the city will. You go to a place like you play for a team in Northern California, you get all the love in the world. They don't even care if you've been in the league for 20 years. If you've seen as a Pro Bowler, great. Ask a whole bunch of people who played on the Oakland Raiders. Warren Sapp. You know, Marshawn Lynch, you know what I mean? Guys who are already pretty much done, but hey, they'll get a whole bunch of hoopla and everybody will love you because you're you. You know what I mean? And you chose them, little Oakland, you know? And the Warriors had some of the best, they had some of the best things going on earth, and, you know, pretty much it looks fun. And KD wanted to be a part of something fun. He didn't want to lead anymore. He just wanted to be a part of a team. That's why he went to the Warriors, you know, and he became a high-paid renegade, you know, in the classic sense of what Moses Malone did when he was the premier player in all of basketball. It's okay. It's okay to be selfish and get your rings. You know what I mean? It's not being a snake because teams snake players all the time, and we know this. We cover football extensively, right, Nate? And what happens every year? We see a guy who's given everything to the franchise. Everything. And they said, oh, he'll be a Hall of Famer with these guys. They'll never get rid of him. Next thing you know, he gets cut. And then he's on another team. And it's 5, 6, 7 years into the league, right? But they're looking at the money and how much he cost. You know what I mean? And are you really playing up to the value that we're paying you? And that's how guys are judged in the NFL. Every year they look at the salary cap. So, you know, when a player chooses to play with the best team or gets, it's his choice. It's okay. That's what it's called. Free agency, free mind, free thinking. And they're all professionals, so they're not going to win every game. It's not possible. They're not going to be healthy for every game. So, you know, people have to understand Durant made the best decision he could possibly make for himself. You know, it goes down in history. Hey, he was a cupcake, la, 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 la. But you know what? He was never going to win at OKC, okay? And so he just got to the winning quicker. You know, so let's all get over that part.
I just think when you put the two egos together of Durant plus, you know, especially with Westbrook, it's almost like, you know, you put two Kardashians together and, you know, it's not going to mix, you know. It's like, it's just sometimes the mojo just isn't the way it should be with, you know, with certain players. I mean, you see Boogie going off to, you know, for the same reasons as Kevin Durant. You know, he left the Pelicans to go chase a ring for the Warriors. And, I mean, unfortunately, he's had some injuries and whatnot, but, I mean, you know, he's still getting those rings. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing, playing a sixth man when you're used to being kind of the leader of the pack. You know, with him and Anthony Davis, you know, they have obviously had good chemistry with each other and whatnot. But you know, it's just one of those things that sometimes you gotta cross paths and, you know, you gotta change paths too. You know, it happens in the NBA, the NFL, it really does.
Right. And how I'm feeling right now is I feel like a team like the Blazers could probably be that surprise team. You got a guy in Lillard who really is Oakland to the fullest. And how would he feel going over there with a complete team that's never scared of the Warriors and beating them? You know? I know it's miracles.
Right.
But I think that they're going to get upended, man. I just think that it's due to happen. Something's going to mess this thing up. But we will see. All right, let's go ahead and get into paying some bills real quick. I know we both want to get a glass of water real quick. I know I put a light off in that rant. So this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show brought to you by mybookie.ag. You guys can sign up and get yourself a deposit bonus up to $1,000 with the promo code being my 12 ounce sports radio. Once again, the promo code is 12 ounce sports, and you guys can go ahead and get that deposit bonus up to $1,000 from mybookie.ag. And this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show, and we'll be back to you in a few.
You got the gambling itch? Well, do ya? Want to know who to bet tomorrow
night? Yeah, Nate.
Want to know all the angles?
Yeah.
Just give me one second. Listen to Pop, I got the
Primetime Angles Show.
I forgot I got the anchor PM, recording, so
the Vegas squares,
we'll let the commercials play.
Articles, and then go to MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, or find their banner on any page of our website at www.12ozsportsradio.com. Make sure you use the promo code 12OZSports. That's 12OZSports. No spaces, all caps. You'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Courtesy of 12 Ounce Sports Radio and MyBookie. MyBookie. Now cash those tickets. Hello, and thanks for listening to 12 Ounce Sports Radio. If you'd like to advertise with us, go to our website, www.12ozsportsradio.com. Navigate to the menu item called Advertise With Us, and you'll see our extremely low rates to get right to your target audience. We'd say we're the industry low, but we didn't do the research. We just looked up the average rate for radio advertising, and I can say we're much, much lower than that. And we even cut you a deal for long term advertising on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. You'll get ads on our website, every show, including the live shows, and throughout the day on Auto DJ. Nowhere else can you get that kind of service for such a low advertising cost. So check us out, www.12ozsportsradio.com, or email us at sales@12ouncesportsradio.com. Thank you.
Get an inside look at recreational Vegas sports betting? Then tune in to the Vegas Squares podcast. Follow us as we discuss the sports landscape and how it relates to the gambling world. Follow us on Twitter at Vegas Squares to interact with us and get our free picks. Check out VegasSquares.com to listen to prior episodes of Tony, Aaron, and Spike giving you their hot sports takes.
That's Vegas Squares and podcasts on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Call Ring Central at 855-841-8742. That's 855-841-8742. Simplify your business communications with a powerful phone system and so much more. Ring Central is the leading all-in-one phone, Teams, and video conferencing solution, and they've partnered with 12 Ounce Sports Radio. So just call them at 855-841-8742 to see what they can do for your business.
All right, we are back with the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop DiBiase. And I got Nate Wall with me tonight inside the AAF, which was the what was of the AAF. Now, real quick before we get back into the NBA, before I break down my plays for the NBA playoffs tomorrow night. Now, my only opinion about the AAF was that we can't call it a minor league. I just called it the has-been league. You know what I mean? Because you already got so many people trying out in the NFL as is, and it's already like a choreographed minor league with the other, say, 60 players that are at it, because you know you go into camp with 99 players, you know, first game preseason. Then they cut you down to 75 after 2 weeks. Then, you know, you cut down to the actual 53, but only 44 get to suit up. You know, so you say to yourself, it was a great experience, though. I know what it is. It's just a pool for players who are who are free agents, or guys who just couldn't make it in college. Guys who had a little issue in college or something, and here goes a second chance to show that you can play some NFL football. But once again, it did work out. They were able to sign, they signed half the league up for, just quick contracts, am I right? So they did their job. You know what I mean? They did what they had to do. They got guys as another look, you know what I mean? But I won't say that anybody's going to become a a Pro Bowl or anything out of that situation, but it was a great little, it had some life to it though, Nate, you know what I mean? Because they had the guy, what did he put up, $250
million? Right, they had Tom Dundon, he's the owner of the Hurricanes in the NHL.
Right. They own the Florida Panthers. Well, they said that he wanted to just get it. Well, they said he had some ulterior motives or something like that. But I don't want to believe that. I think that he wanted the league to succeed as well, too. But it might have been too much too fast. And that's why the league did cease to exist today. Because, you know, when you're chasing Johnny Manziel, I'm like, come on, man. You already got a good product going. You don't need him to come. You know? So.
Right.
You know, because you've told us that you had a good product.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I think they kind of had it on a 3-year plan. Their plan was to, you know, at least get 3 years out of it. But, you know, I think it was week 2 when it came around, but the payroll system allegedly went down, and then that's when kind of Tom Dundon threw in his money in the pot. And, you know, it sounds like Charlie Ebersol, Napoleon, and Dundon, it just sounds like they weren't all on the same page. And I think Ebersol kind of lost the gain of his league by actually going off and, you know, selling that portion in a way of the league, because with, you know, him not really having, I mean, he still has a say because he founded the league, but, you know, it's like, you know, if you watch Shark Tank and you give up 51% of your business, you're not a majority owner anymore. So, I mean, really, it's up to, you know, the board of directors, which was Tom Dundon, to kind of make the final call on things. And that's what kind of, you know, obviously made the season end early, because obviously I think Dundon kind of acquired the AAF, planning it to be a development league. I don't really think that was their main motive when Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian started the league. Because I think really what they wanted to do more of is like the tech of football, you know, with, I mean, the AAF app and, you know, just having a more tech experience, you know, that the NFL really doesn't offer. And for, you know, Dundon to kind of, you know, cut the league short, you know, just because he was firm on getting the NFL Players Association, so, you know, third stringers, second stringers in the NFL, he wanted access to those players, which, you know, you're kind of changing your game, you know, a little too late for that. I mean, I think it kind of started for me when they moved what would have been the championship game. They were going to play in Las Vegas, which I was looking forward to seeing you guys out there. They moved it to Dallas. So, I mean, for Frisco, but I think that's close to Dallas. But, you know, that was kind of the fallout. I kind of saw it coming, but I didn't want to believe it, of course. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my take on it. I just think, he gave Dundon way too much power, and he kind of ran with it and said, well, if I'm not going to do it my way, then the hell with you. That's kind of the vibe I got from it.
Man, I got a kind of vibe that he did something. He did a favor for his friends and got away and got rid of a league before it became a competition. Because think about it. They marketed the league perfectly. They put the league on right after the NFL was over with. So it gets you excited, leads you into the draft, things like that. You know what I mean? And then those same players that didn't get drafted, now, hey, you know what? We come back around and those guys can decide to say, hey, why don't I go ahead and play over here for a year, you know, get my game together, and then I'll go play for an NFL team next year.
Right.
Think about it. Because then they could have started outbidding them for undrafted free agents that they felt like they could, because there's a bunch of guys that don't get drafted that were supposed to get drafted in the NFL. We both know this. We know this. You know, from the quarterback position to the running back position, where they always miss on a guy who was the gained 2,500 yards. Come on, the guy who plays for Buffalo, Denver now. You know, they totally missed on him. He wasn't drafted. Now, say if you're the AAF, you come into position and you say, okay, kid, I'm going to hand you $100,000 more than the NFL is going to hand you. There you go. You got a star. Chad Lindsey. He's already pissed off that the NFL didn't pick him up. Boom. He's going to show the NFL what they're missing. Think about it. that they would it was a threat. Not the initial season. They had to not make sure it didn't continue to a second season. That's what I'm seeing. You bring in a big, and then he gave up 51% of the company, so they was done the moment he did that. And it was excitement that came in, but they was done. He literally bought them to close them. Crazy.
It happens.
And I know they'll say, well, Pop, we'll put you out of media, say something like that. But, you know, I don't care. I can, the writing's on the wall. You literally just said it. They were going to become, come on, they got Manziel to sign on. So what's up? What's going to happen when they got that big-time college player that skips out on the supplemental draft and just goes and plays in the AAF? Think about it. If you get a Josh Gordon-type talent and he missed out and he didn't want to play in that league, so then he goes and plays in the AAF. That's what the AAF was built for. That's what they wanted to do. They were going to build their league as the spring league after football was done. That was the smartest idea in itself, where they weren't competing with the NFL, but they weren't looking to, like you said, is they didn't want to make it a developmental league. They wanted to make it an alternative football league after the NFL was done for the season. So they were going to try to acquire top talent. You weren't going to just keep bringing in guys that got cut, you know? Guys who were college greats but NFL busts. You know, Trent Richardson, he was literally there to sell tickets somewhere. But he's somebody that you said, where was he playing at? Birmingham, right? Didn't they have a team in Birmingham?
Yeah, he was playing in Birmingham, yeah.
Right. So, you know, he's just playing over in Birmingham, could play for the Orlando, Florida team. But, you know, some guys just, they just wanted names out there too. And that's what the problem was. Now, if they would have got the most talented players and not just names to sell tickets, the league would still be going on right now, in my opinion. You know, you only go get a few of those guys. You don't need to go get a whole bunch of them, because you don't want to be a joke. You know, I think they did a good job, though. As long as guys in the NFL get jobs after that, that's all what matters, man. That's all what matters. Because that's what they're striving for.
It goes to show that, like, the system they built, you know, with the players worked. And, I mean, the way I look at it, too, I mean, if you think about it, these guys, you know, they're signing, you know, I think they've had 50, they're at 50-plus players that have signed NFL contracts, and I'm sure there's more in that are looking to sign. You know, the way I look at it is, you have two options. Obviously, you're going to look at all the, you know, with the NFL draft this week, you know, you're going to look at all those prospects. But, you know, I'm a big fan of diamond in the rough players. You know, what if you find a guy from the AAF that you could pay, you know, 2/3 less than when these draft picks start coming out? And, you know, when you think about it, a lot of those guys in the AAF, you know, it's kind of like a quote-unquote development league, but at the same time, you know, you have a lot of guys that are, you know, 22, 25, 20, 28. I mean, a lot of guys that, you know, have some potential to still play. So, I mean, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, what is the difference in taking an AAF player and pay them probably quite a bit less than a player you might get in the fourth, fifth round could end up being a bust? You know, you really kind of got to look at, you know, what exactly you might get, or like what kind of playing like the versus card. You know, are you getting more value, or are you not? You know, are you getting more value with that draft pick, or are you getting more value with that AAF player? You know, you may get a little more longevity out of this draft pick, but, you know, you at least with the AAF player, you have a player that's, you know been on a practice squad, or, you know, been on an NFL roster. So, you know, it's kind of that call where you're kind of figuring out, you know, what's best for my team? What do you want from my team?
Right. Totally agree, man. Totally agree. Now, let me get to my NBA playoff picks and everything like that. That's incredible, man. So, because I wanted to talk to you about the AAF, because I know that you were staunch behind it. You were covering games, everything like that. So, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool stuff, man. And try to get access. And I saw the little show that they had for the league as well, too, the little Tampa Bay guys and things like that. You know, that was fun because they were all into it. Or was it their Orlando team? I forgot. It was one of them down there in Florida. But they were super into it, you know, because their fans were into it. So, you know, maybe something like this can come along again, but not insist upon itself as hard and just move forward, you know?
Right.
You know, so, you know, we'll see how the future looks. We're going to talk NFL draft in a moment, though, since we have that coming up, and I'm not going to have a show till probably Thursday. But we may not have a show Thursday. We may have a show Friday because it's actually my birthday on Thursday. And I don't know how things are going to be. I got to go to a press conference in Vegas covering the Robert Easter, Francis Bartholomew fight. So, you know, Rancis Bartholomew. I'm so sorry. Rancis Bartholomew. But, you know, it's that should be a fun experience, everything. It's going to be at the Cosmopolitan. So it should be a good night. So I'm trying to make sure I keep focus on the show. But, you know, there's things to do. And Poppy wore out sometimes, man.
Right. Yeah. You know, It happens to us.
It happens, brother. You know what I mean? But, you know, Primetime Angles Radio Show. Whoop, whoop. But NBA playoffs is where I'm looking at, Nate. I like the over 2-8 tomorrow with the Magic and the Raptors. I also like the Sixers 2-0. They're going to be a minus 9. And I think that all the teams that are up 3 games are pretty much going to roll to finish up their series, except for Houston tonight. That's who we're going against. And your Bucks are going to cover well. They go ahead and take care of 12.5. If you bet the Pistons, you're absolutely just done with betting for the rest of the playoffs, baby. They give you 12.5. Team is up 10 at one point, and they're almost about to lose by 30. It's incredible. Yeah, it was 62 to 70 at one point. So they outscored them 61 to 29 since that point. And that was in the middle of the third quarter. Just teams that don't belong here.
When I saw a few just on Twitter, some people are like, oh, you gotta take the Pistons on +10, and I'm like, I'm not so sure about that. Not something I would ever do, you know, not even being a Homer Milwaukee Bucks fan, but I mean, just, I don't know. Pistons, you know, Dwayne Casey, he's notorious for getting knocked out of the first round. He's notorious for getting swept. You know, when he was with the Raptors, that's really all he ever did is get swept by the big dogs, you know. Right. The Raptors were a regular season team, and they played well in the regular season, and they get to the playoffs, and I was like, oh, hell, guys, I don't know if we're going to be here, so.
Right. Well, yep, it is what it is. They were getting out of here anyway. So, Bucks, great job. You guys went ahead and took care of your business. That's what first seeds do. You get down 10, it's no problem. We'll go ahead and we'll smoke the asses later. And that's exactly what they did. All right, so we got the Sixers tomorrow. You know, I love them. Brooklyn's been good to me all season, but it's going to be their victory. It's going to be their swan song tomorrow. So go ahead and get your fishing poles ready, you know. And it's going to be real fun over in Williamsburg this summer and everything like that. You know, time to go ahead and go be socialites, my Brooklyn Nets brethren. You guys did a great job this season. Hopefully you can build on that for next year. And we'll see where you go from here. Maybe they can get themselves a star after being very, very impressive this year. And if you're an NBA star, why wouldn't you love to play in Brooklyn? You know, you don't get the same pressure that you get playing for the Knicks, you know? So, you know, and then you got the Borough behind you. So, but they're going home tomorrow night. Nate, I got the 9 with the 76ers tomorrow. And then we got the Nuggets Spurs. This is tough to pick who's going to win the game. We know that the Nuggets are the home team in this spot, and the Nuggets are really, really, really trying to get ahead in this series. They got to get ahead in this series. And this game is crucial, but I still see this series going 7. I think Denver might mess around, but it seems like this series is going back and forth. You know, I win one, you win one, I win one, you win one. So is Denver going to win 2 in a row? Maybe. But I still think at the end of the day, this will wind up going 7. So Denver probably will win the game tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and take the over 211 in this game as well, too. They just keep making this score total very low. Nate, so I got to just keep taking the over here because these teams are well capable of going over that amount right there. And the East is wrapping up a lot more quicker than I thought it was. The East is like literally wrapped up. 4-0, 4-0, 1-4 already playing, and it looks like that these two teams are gonna go wrap up their series tomorrow as well too. So we can just get to this thing by this weekend. That's what's up. I like it. All right, so my last game for tomorrow night, Nate, is going to be this one. It's going to be the Blazers money line. They closed the show against the Thunder. They send them home. We talked about them earlier, but it's time to send the Thunder home. Bye-bye. Have a good one. They're going to be rocking in the Rose tomorrow night, and they're going to wrap it up. That's what the Blazers are going to do. So I got the money line with them with minus 160, and I like it. I like it a lot. So there we go. That's the let me run it down for you one more time. We got the over 208 Magic Raptors, and I think that the Raptors will go ahead and take care of that series tomorrow, even though they are a heavy, heavy favorite. Tomorrow they should still win. It doesn't matter. You can take the +10.5 on the Magic if you want to. But I know one thing though, just take the smartest bet here is to play the scoreboard because this is a game that should go over. That's why I got it going over 208 in this spot. And we got the Sixers -9. I think that's a confident play right there as well, too. Then we got the over 211 with the Nuggets and the Spurs. And then we got Blazers money line -160. So it's going to be a little chalky for me picking winners tomorrow. And we move from there because I think that we'll start getting some dogs when we get to the next round. Because that's going to be when the playoffs truly, truly begins, in my opinion. You know, it's the Elite Eight, in a sense. You know what I mean? It's the big time. So, we'll see where we go with that. All right, so let me go ahead and skip on over to baseball real quick, and then we'll get into this NFL draft. Okay, Nate? All right,
that sounds good.
Yeah, man. So, we got the primetime pick 6 for you tomorrow. It's weighing in at a 52-1. It's a good number right here, man. It's a really good number. Six teamer as well. I got the Reds here at +180. Yep, I like it. I like that one a lot. I feel like the Reds are going to be able to win their game tomorrow. By two or more runs, they're in a good spot. They got a good pitcher going for them as well. So, you know, I like the Reds at home. And sometimes they can just go really berserk at the house. And Puig is starting to pick it up a little bit. So I'm very confident in that. And I feel like we can go ahead and get this one home. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Reds to win by two or more runs tomorrow, and I'm getting +180 on the line for that one. So there you go with that one to kick us off. There that is. Then we got the over 7.5 with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. They got pretty good pitchers going on the mound tomorrow, but I do think that both these teams are going to be getting some hitting going. So it'll finish up 6-3, 5-4. 6-4, 7-11, I don't know. But it's going to go over, though. That's how I'm feeling in this spot. And then we got the Giants money line +105 tomorrow as well, too. That's a later game, and it should be good. I got pretty much all the late games up here as well, too. I like the A's money line at -140 at home. They should be good to go in this spot. They should go ahead and cash this ticket out for us. They're playing against the Rangers, so everything should be good to go. Rangers play real well against the Astros as usual, but I think that pretty much on the road, they've been a little tardy. So I'm going to go ahead and take the A's in this spot. Then we got the Rockies money line at home. The Rockies been awful, but I think the Rockies are due for a win. And so I'm going to go ahead and take them with the even money. And then I finish off the night with the under 8 in the interleague matchup between the Mariners and the Padres. A little bit of that Seattle-San Diego coastal love. You know what I mean? Good old Pacific Coast rivalry game. You know, Seattle and San Diego, they're like the same city, Nate. You know what I mean? In a sense, you know, they got a lot of great sports fans and everything in those cities, and then they got a real chill atmosphere in both of those cities. So it's always fun to watch the Seattle San Diego teams play each other. And so pretty much I'm gonna go ahead and take the under 8 in that spot, man. So that's how I'm feeling. And once again, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to you guys. Once again, it's gonna be a 6 teamer It's going to be the 1.5 run line with the Reds, and that's the -1.5. We got the over 7.5 with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates, and then we got the Giants money line, +105, A's money line, -140, Rockies money line, even money, and then we got the under 8 with the Mariners and the Padres. And that will wrap it for our prime time pick 6. I'll go ahead and tweet this out as soon as the show is over. All right. All right, Nate, let's go ahead and talk a little bit of NFL draft. They had Kyler Murray as a -500 to go number one, but then today we come back and here comes Arizona saying that they're not picking him number one. So are we playing kind of a mind game? Do you think that they're just bluffing right now, that they've already called out their hand and they just want to act like they're still going through the process? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes with, like, the inexperience of, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, you think about it, you know, less than a year ago, was fired from 5-7 Big 12 school, you know, Texas Tech. And, I mean, the way they kind of, you know, I'm curious about this Rosen thing, because I think, I want to say that they got all their cards in the right place, but I also, you know, feel like, you know, they're kind of the mercy of, you know, you just took a quarterback 10th last year. You know, you built no systems around him last year. You know, they were 3-13, and, you know, he played for a good amount of season. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you got to let quarterbacks develop. You can't, you know, not everyone's going to be a Russell Wilson coming out of the draft. You know, they're not going to get you to the playoffs or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I think if you build some systems around Rosen, I think, you know, I don't think they could be in a bad spot. I just, you know, Kyler Murray, I don't really know where they're going with this pick, because I think, you know, it doesn't sound like there's interest in Rosen, but it sounds like what the Cardinals are wanting is a ridiculous amount of picks. So, you know, it just will depend on who. I think it's gonna be a last second thing. If they do trade the pick, you know, I think it'll be really last second. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I think Kyler will still go number one. Like whether it's Arizona, I mean, I don't know. I'd love to see the Giants trade up and, you know, maybe get Kyler Murray, maybe get a totally different, you know, system as far as their offense with Eli kind of on his way out. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I'd like to see. What are you kind of thinking?
You know what? I would really like to see them draft a lineman and not a defensive lineman, like the best offensive lineman. I would love to see them trade out of that. They don't need Kyler Murray. Josh Rosen is a better quarterback. It's that simple. All you got to do is, and what system do you want him to play in? What, a shotgun system? That might cater to him even better. Josh Rosen can throw that pill, and he knows what to do with it. So if you got the right type of offense in place, I think Josh Rosen can run your offense. And I think that more of anything, Kyler Murray is going to be can throw the ball, but he's short. So he's a gimmick player. It got to be a gimmick. So he has to really go to a team he has to get into the same situation Lamar Jackson got into, where they're going to say, okay, we're going to develop you, kid. We're not going to do anything. We're not gonna force this thing until it's ready. You go to Arizona, they're throwing them all. They're already throwing them out there to the wolves. It's not going to work. Kingsbury be fired by week 6. This is not a good idea. Even the GM even had to step in and say, you know what? This is getting ridiculous. That's why he's telling people now that they're not going to draft Kyler Murray, because this is a GM that I'm guessing led them to the Super Bowl a few years back with Kurt Warner and everything like that about a decade ago. So, I mean, isn't it the same guy?
I don't think so.
I don't. Or was it a Bidwell? It might have been a Bidwell who was in charge. No, I think. He's new. He's new because they fired the other GM. Yeah, he's new. He's
I can't
new.
Remember off the top of my head.
But I can't believe a GM's letting a coach who had this much control. But like they said, Kingsbury was Kingsbury is getting the hype because Patrick Mahomes. I can't believe a quarterback can be so great that he can get a losing coach a job as a head coach in the NFL. It's ridiculous. And, you know, Mahomes is a natural born talent. He would have did that in college. So, why would you go? And then they're saying, well, you know, we're it reminds me of a lot of the same move that Tampa Bay made about 10 years ago. They had a coach by the name of Raheem Morris. Remember him?
Yep, I do.
And Raheem Morris lasted 2 seasons. The first season, he was a 32, 31-year-old coach. He was a very young coach. Very, very young coach. And they don't even talk about that guy being on sidelines as an assistant anymore. Because this is what will happen to you if you put guys in a position where they have no business being a coach in the NFL. The guy literally said that he was running his playbook off the Madden plays that they work on at home. And I said that, well, this is another guy that had a little bit of experience with maybe college basketball and high school football. I mean, a little bit of experience meaning that you weren't a star at all. You were just a guy that was able to get the waters to the starters on time. You know what I mean? And then you got some motivation and things to you. And I'm not going to take away from their hard work. You know what I mean? Because they did work hard. But they were able to get into situations where the players are so good. The players is going to speak for themselves. A great coach is never going to take credit for what the players do. The players do what they do. The coach just puts up the scheme and he puts up the techniques that will be helpful for you in a game. But at the end of the day, it's not the coach playing on the field. The coach can compare you as much as he wants to, and then you go out there and lose by 40. It doesn't matter. It's coach going to take responsibility for it, but it's really not on coach. I've been a player and a coach, and I know one thing: when we lost games by a lot of points, it wasn't on no damn coach. It was on us. We didn't come with no effort, and the coach demanded the effort, but we just didn't hear him. Because you know what? We know it's a lost cause. So why keep playing? Well, we're gonna keep playing, but they're gonna keep doing what they do. There's nothing we can do about it. We've been bested this day, you know. And then they say, well, the coach can't get past anything. Well, I say, well, damn, the coach is not in the game. You know, players got to be accountable. And that's the thing. You know, at the end of the day, I just feel like it's a bad idea for both of them. It's a bad idea. Kyler Murray passed up that MLB money, which is guaranteed at the end of the day. At least he would have got seen that $45, $50 million over a 7-year stretch. They sign you to the same deal in the NFL, you break your neck, boom, they can void the contract. You know? And people don't get that part I felt like he had a keen opportunity to play baseball and become a star in baseball, but he wants to play football. You know what I mean? And you can't take that away from the kid. I just hope that they don't say when he's not as good as he's supposed to be, that I hope they're not saying, well, let's put him at receiver. Let's put him at D-back. You know what I mean? He's an athlete. You know, you can see it coming. See, it's so funny with when they want to put you into the league, they want to put you, you're in the Hall of Fame. You're a next level player. But once they get to dissect you, that's when they say, okay, well, he's missing this and he's missing that. And he always had that problem in college. You know what? The guy's a bust. And my guy might have a decent career. You feel what I'm saying? A decent time when he started. You know what I mean? So that's what kills me about the draft. Now, Bosa is my biggest question mark. I'm an Ohio State guy. I love Ohio State, but I can't be all loud about it because I don't play the homer stuff. No offense to my people who love their teams to a T, you know what I mean? But I told myself as I move forward with this media stuff, these shows, things like that, I can't be one-sided. You know, I can't be Skip Bayless with the Cowboys. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right. This
is my analyst. The Ohio State defense was incredible. And Nick Bosa just was a key piece to what was going on. But they didn't miss a beat when he left. They really didn't. Like, well, yeah, more points were being scored on him. But I would say the secondary was the star of that team. Because those are the guys that are going to be really, really good on Sundays. And the middle linebacker was very good this season as well, too. Their defense complemented itself, and I feel like Bosa is playing simply off the factor that his brother was so great at Ohio State. And they're expecting the same thing, but Ohio State has an all-star defense. So it's like having a great – it's like the old Miami situation. Great offense. great offense with a above average quarterback. And that's how I feel with Bosa, that he's an above average pass rusher. He didn't show me much. Nick Bosa was strength and speed. You know, what's his brother's name? Am I saying it right? Is Nick?
Yeah, it was Nick and Joey.
Yeah, Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa was an absolute beast, and he has all the measurements to show that he's a ferocious defensive end. Now, his brother, it's more blue collar. He's working hard, and he's back there. He's on you. But Joey is fast. You know what I mean? It's a difference. You know what I mean? And I feel like he plays to the NFL speed. And when you got a guy who already has a severe injury coming into the NFL where he constantly has to be getting hit in the shoulder or in the chest area, it's going to become a problem. And it's going to be really something that's going to really detour his career. And I don't think that he'll make it to 10 years in the league. And I know that's just not nice at all, because, you know, he's striving for his dreams. I know, Nawal, but that's how I feel, man. Honestly, I feel like whoever drafts him is going to run into a situation where he's going to be one of those guys that was just literally a big name that they picked because his brother was a really good player. And, you know, he got himself a few moments, but it's never going to be the career that they're hyping it to be. That's how I feel. How do you feel about that situation?
I mean, I think it's very similar. The kid's put in the work that, you know, he's, you know, definitely a first-round pick and whatnot.
Right.
But, I mean, you also got to think of the politics, you know. Everyone thinks just because your brother's great at something means you're at the same talent level as they are. That's never the case. You know. I mean, you could say that about, you know, Michael Jordan. You know, everyone expected his kids to be outstanding basketball players, and guess what? They weren't.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a similar dialect, you know. I think Bosa's a good player, but, I mean, the fact that he's having injuries that are very impactful for, defensive ends such as himself, you know, this early, you know, going into the draft, I think it has to throw some red flags at some of these NFL scouts. You know, a lot of people are putting him in San Francisco and, you know, things like that. But, I mean, it's almost a little ridiculous when you really look at it, because, you know, obviously he's been a good player, but like you said, Ohio State's always, you know, had an outstanding secondary and outstanding linebacking corps. So, you know, when you look at Bosa, you know, a lot of people said Denzel Ward should have went number four last year, but, you know, he's part of that secondary. So, you know, I think, you know, Ohio State, you know, if you give me a choice between this Josh Allen kid out of Kentucky and Bosa, you know, I think it's a close call, because I think, you know, Josh Allen obviously has, you know, been, you know, he's known the struggle. You know, I feel like Bosa's never known the struggle. You know, Josh Allen, people forget, you know, out of high school. He was only offered one Division I offer, and he walked on at Kentucky. And now he's going to be probably number 3, number 4 pick in the draft. So, you know, you got to understand that his motivation is all there. But, you know, with Bosa, it's one of those things, you know, you hope he lives up to expectations, but, you know, I don't know if he will. I really don't.
Well, with that, man, that's beautiful to hear. We only got so much time. We actually are at our time limit, man. And I think we got to the draft a bit too late. I'm so sorry about that, because I wanted to kind of talk about Ed Oliver and everything. But maybe we can go ahead. We can have a nice little recap Sunday if you want to come ahead and join us. And we'll talk some more top 10 draft picks and things like that, and sleepers that we might have and everything. So hopefully we can get you back in on Sunday, Nate, with us.
All right, that sounds good. I look forward to that.
Yeah, man, awesome stuff. Just hold the line for me real quick as I send this off. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop DiBiase. You guys can listen to this show on Anchor. I'm going to go ahead and tweet this out to you as well. You guys can follow my Twitter at Pop DiBiase. And you guys can go ahead and follow Nate Wall at where?
The Brick Wall 87.
And remember, you spell Wahl, WAHL. The brick yep. wall.
Not like the wall that you have in your house. Right. W-A-H-L.
Right. You got to spell it the G way. W-A-H-L. All right. So there it is. I'm signing out with my man, Nate Wall. This is the Primetime Angles with your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase. One more time. You guys have a beautiful night. I'll be back to you Thursday on my birthday, hopefully, or we'll be back Friday night. But it's going to be a great week. You guys stay tuned. All right. Have a great night. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase. And you guys need to listen to my show, the Primetime Angles Radio Show, which is available live Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't know where we might be. Vegas, L.A., Houston, New York, Miami. We do this show everywhere, mobile, but this is all about cashing that ticket. So if you are a big bettor or a small bettor and you like to bet college basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, MLB, WNBA, anything that you can bet under the sun, we'll have an angle for you, okay? So make sure you guys do tune in to the Primetime Angles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase, also featuring Jeff Dawson, Philly Pete, Bobby Del Rio, and many more guests that come in on a weekly basis. So you guys make sure to tune in, because this is the best sports betting show in the world. Once again, the best sports betting show in the world. Don't miss out. And this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show, live every Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time.